Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11 this morning. We are continuing from last week. Last week we have been dealing with salvation by faith in a series. Last week we dealt with faith and family, how faith affects a family. We're going to continue with this morning, faith and family, or we could call this the faith of Noah. Hebrews chapter 11. And reading from verse 1 now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And then down to verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and he became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Let's pray together. Just ask for God's blessing on our hearts. We're not going through a ritual. I want God. I need God. I need him to meet with me day by day in a way that will stir up a real faith that not only affects my life, but affects the life of my family, my loved ones, and those around me. I want this faith to grow in my heart and life. Father, we're agreeing together this morning. Lord God, that faith of Noah that so radically impacted his wife, his children, Lord God, even his daughters-in-law. Lord God, we do want such a faith, not only a faith that gets us to heaven, Lord God, not only a faith that makes us righteous, but Lord God, a faith that's going to affect our loved ones, those that we care about most, those that we cherish most. Lord God, that you will raise up a faith in this church that's going to lead to the salvation of families. Lord God, that you're going to birth within us a vision, a desire, that you're going to even instruct us and warn us prophetically in such a way, my God, that we're going to be moved by fear. Lord God, to the snatching of loved ones from the very fires of hell. Lord God, make your word a living thing. We don't want to be lethargic, and we don't want to be unbelieving at such a serious hour when the very end of time is upon us, when the last days upon us and prophecy is being fulfilled. Help us on this high street of Limerick. My God, help us to move with fear and by the faith of God to raise up, Lord God, a church that will be to the saving of many lives. We do want to see a gathering in of families, and even a day, oh God, give us a faith, Lord God, for families. Give us a faith for my family, for our families. Give us a faith, Lord God, that isn't inhibited or bound by skepticism, by unbelief, Lord God, by all manners of things that would limit us. But give us a faith, O God, that will trust you to save them, redeem them, and bring them in, even as you did with us. We love you and give you all the glory this morning. Amen. Verse 7 again, by faith. Can I say that again? By faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. We read in verse 1 of Hebrews 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Where you find true faith, you find evidence and proof of things that have not been seen yet. We know that in the days of Noah, there were things coming. There were judgments of God. There was coming a destruction of mankind. God was coming to put an end to sin and that generation and to start over again in a new world. Here was a man, Noah, warned of God, that God was going to destroy the world with a flood. Not just a local flood, but a worldwide flood in which every man, every beast would be utterly destroyed, and that the full earth would be submerged below those waters. Here was a man who by faith had never seen it rain. None of them had ever seen a boat floating. None of them had experienced a torrential rain. Not one single person in that generation, not one single man who heard Noah preach had ever seen the judgment of God come in such a way where he wiped out a generation and he began all over again. Now, Noah knew these things. He could see things that hadn't yet happened. He could see them afar off as if they were a reality. God warned him of what was coming, but you couldn't see it with the naked eye. You couldn't feel and touch that rain, and yet he was warning them, there is coming a judgment against sin. You see, this faith that was in Abraham opened up his eye, opened up his heart, and made him to know what was just about to happen. He actually knew what was going to happen to that generation. He could feel it, and he was moved by it. It wasn't just a faith that saved him, but it was actually a faith that moved him in love and care and tender concern about others around about him. Noah cared about every man and woman on the face of the earth. Noah cared about his family, and that faith actually opened his spiritual eyes, and he could see what God was going to do. He believed what God was going to do, and he knew the consequence on his family if they didn't enter into the ark. You see, faith will do that in this church right here and now. I tell you, the faith of God, a real knowledge of God and a walk with God, will actually open your eyes and open the eyes of this church to see things that nobody on that street can see. I want to assure you, there is a judgment day appointed for the city of Limerick. We read in the Bible that God is going to judge cities, and he is going to judge nations, and he is going to judge individuals. And I want to show you, faith has a vital aspect on this thing called judgment. When you have faith, you know there's a judgment coming. You know that you'll stand in judgment before God. Not one of you in this room, young, old, black, white, doesn't matter, culture, finance or anything else, every one of us in this room will stand there on that day. How can I be so sure? I know it by faith. My faith in God has given me an absolute evidence, an absolute confidence that I know that there's a day I'm going to gaze on his face and be held accountable for how I've lived my life. And that's the sort of faith that Noah had. It was a faith that opened his eyes to see things you couldn't see naturally. It opened his ears to hear warnings that others laughed at. Look at this street of Limerick this morning. Tell them there's a coming judgment. They'll laugh in your face and say, I enjoy my drugs. I enjoy my drink. I enjoy immorality. Hey, I'm enjoying life. There's no restraint on me. I do what I want. Yes, and look at you. You're empty.
Yeah.
You're absolutely empty. This city of Limerick, the people on the streets, they can do anything they want. They can have anything they want. And the utter dissatisfaction is even driving this city to destruction. This city of Limerick has the highest suicide rate in Europe. It actually has the highest self-harm rate in all of Ireland. It is actually higher in Limerick, twice as high as any other town or city in the nation of Ireland. I tell you, Limerick has a problem this morning. Look at this city that is given over to sin. Look at the glory of sin. Look at the enjoyment of sin. Have you ever heard a sinner or someone say, look what God done to me. God failed me. God didn't answer my prayer. If God is a good God, why didn't he come and do something? Look at the little baby Dan. Why didn't God rescue them and they blame God? Have you ever, and can I ask you, have you ever once in this city heard one sinner blame sin? Have you ever? Have you ever heard anyone standing on the street angry at drugs or angry at drink or angry at immorality? No, they love those things. You don't see the drug addict getting angry with drugs and sin. It destroyed homes and it destroyed lives and it destroyed the minds of men and women. You don't see that. God gets the blame. But I want to assure you, we have an answer. We've got an answer for every man, every woman. I'm going to say it until you're tired of hearing it, or else your faith rises up to say, I do believe that Christ has an answer. There is an answer at the old rugged cross. The blood will atone for sin. It will save the vilest of offender. And we do have an answer. If we preach Christ, if we exalt Christ, if we make much of the person of Christ, we have an answer. Look at this man, Noah. He was a righteous man. And it says in Genesis 6, three times that God warned him. It says in Hebrews 11 that by faith Noah, being warned of God. God warned Noah three times. The first time he warned him, he actually said, my spirit will not always strive with men. What does it mean for God's Holy Spirit to strive with men? Do you know what it means? He'll move through a preacher, or a Christian witnessing, or the environment of the church. God's Holy Spirit will move. He'll come to convict you in the middle of the night. He'll plead with you to turn from your sin. The striving of the Spirit is real, and it is in this city. And I believe the Spirit of God is striving in this city, saying, will you come to Jesus? Will you put your faith in Jesus before it is too late? But God warned Noah. He said, my spirit won't always strive with men. There's actually a day coming in which my spirit is going to stop warning men. There's a day coming in which my Holy Spirit won't reach out to you through a preacher anymore. I tell you, God help the man who despises a preacher who wants to warn him, or a Christian, or someone in your family, you love them and care about them, and they laugh at it or they despise it. What a terrible thing when it's the Holy Spirit in it. You see, Noah knew there was a day when God's Spirit was going to stop. Now is the day of opportunity. You can repent today. You can believe today. Your sins can be forgiven today. You can be delivered of any sin, any addiction, and any torment. That is the message of the gospel. God will move in your life. He wants to bring you to Jesus Christ. But there's a day that's going to end. There is a day when God stops striving with men. Don't grieve him away. If you don't know him in this meeting, don't drive the Holy Spirit away. He's the only one who can lead you to Jesus Christ. But we want a moving of the Holy Spirit in this city to warn men and women and to draw them and prepare them. And the Lord said the number of man's days will be 120 years. Do you know what he done? He gave the exact measurement. He said, start today, my spirit won't always strive with men. But you've got 120 years and that door of salvation is going to shut. There is an appointed time. Do you know what the warnings of God are? They're his love expressed. If you ever hear warnings, it is God reaching out in love, trying to help you. But also I want you to notice these warnings were prophecies. They actually give clear prophetic information to say, I am going to do this. And I believe there's many prophecies in the Bible just about to come to pass. Our Bibles are filled with prophecies about the last day. Do you realize that in a short period of time, all the Bible prophecy is suddenly going to be fulfilled? We said last Sunday afternoon about Revelation 17, and it shows the union of religion with politics and the economy all coming together in the last generation. We are seeing it, saints. We are beholding it in our day. It's all merging together, and God is getting ready to judge it. We can see what's happening. We do know what's coming on the nations. We can see that it's the last hours of time that are being fulfilled. Let me give you three things concerning this faith it speaks about. In verse 7, first of all, it is faith for your family. The faith spoken about in this verse, it wasn't the faith that got Noah saved. It's not talking here, Noah got saved by faith. It's not saying that. It actually says, by faith, that when Noah was warned of God, of things that hadn't happened yet. Don't people laugh at that? They say, well, you're saying that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah,
you say Jesus is coming back. Where is he? Oh, he's coming all right.
Yeah,
he's coming and I'm ready.
Yes.
And I'm looking for him. And I want every man and woman to be ready. But look at him. It says, his faith moved him with fear to prepare an ark to the saving of his house. What sort of faith was this in Noah? It was actually a faith that began to prepare a way that his family could be saved. It was faith for his family and to save his family. It wasn't just a faith to save himself or to forgive his own sins, but it was a faith that was going to impact his entire family. Do you realize your faith can impact your entire family? Your faith can be the means of salvation to a wife, a daughter, a husband, a father, a cousin, an auntie. Your faith in God can so move you like Noah that you begin to prepare the means that actually bring about their salvation. Now, no man saves anybody. My faith can't even save myself. I'm not saved by faith. I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb. But God uses faith and never does anything apart from faith. How are your family going to come in? How is God going to move in your family? Not by your works, not by your efforts. You'll wear yourself out. It is by faith. What is faith? It is a confidence in God. Do you realize Noah had an absolute confidence in God, that God wanted to save his family? Not only him, but to save his family. He knew God wanted to save his wife, and to save his three boys, and to save his three daughter-in-laws. His faith was greater than his own preoccupation. This thing of family salvation is all through the Bible, from Genesis all the way through to Revelation. We read in the Gospels concerning a young man called Philip. Sorry, a young man called Andrew. When you first meet him, you know very little about him. He has just met Christ the Messiah. He has just received salvation. What can you tell me about Andrew this morning? What great deed did Andrew preach? What letter did he write? What sermon did he preach? What miracle did he perform? You can search the Gospels and you won't read any of that. But you know what you do read about Andrew? Is the immediate first thing he done when he met Christ. It says immediately he went to his brother. And he went to his fleshly brother and began to say, you need to come see this man. Let me bring you to a man. And he is the Messiah. He's the one who can change your life. You see, I can't change my brother's life. But I assure you, I am responsible for bringing my brother to the Messiah and to Jesus Christ. Who was his brother? It was Peter. That was his blood brother. We all know about Peter. Very few think of Andrew. But I want to tell you, Andrew was a man of faith who had faith for his brother. If Christ can save me, Christ can save my brother. Oh, you don't know my brother. Oh, I tell you, this Christ can save your brother. I'm not sure if I've got faith for my brother. Well, God can give you the faith. You need to remember here this morning, the same Holy Ghost that drew you. I look around me in a room filled with people. It's a miracle that you got in this morning. It's not natural. You weren't better. You weren't more intellectually wise. You weren't more prone to salvation. It was a miracle of God's grace. You wouldn't be here this morning if the Holy Spirit hadn't drew you. It wasn't the preacher. It wasn't this church. It wasn't the individual sitting beside you. It was the Holy Spirit striving with you. Do you remember this morning? Do you remember the Holy Spirit striving with you? And you come in and heard some sermon or someone spoke to you and you could feel that striving, the conviction of sin. You felt the probing of the Holy Spirit. You may not have understood it, and yet the Holy Spirit's going, I'm trying to get you to Christ.
Amen.
I am dealing with you. See, there is a faith that can affect your family. Andrew's faith affected Peter, and Peter affected multitudes, thousands. What about in Acts chapter 10? We read about Cornelius. He's a man, he's not even saved yet. He's not born again. But he is fasting. Oh, God won't listen to the fasting of a sinner. Will he not? Will he not? If you would ask me a year ago, I probably would have said, oh, God won't listen to the fasting of a sinner. But I had to correct myself. Do you realize all through the year, I'm getting re-educated. I'm learning things. I'm not just a preacher. I'm telling you, I see a scripture and go, I need to change how I thought on that point. Here's Cornelius, a lost man. He's in his sin, but he does fear God. He does want God. We read in Acts chapter 10 that the Lord seen his fasting. What was his great concern? Salvation in his family. He actually also gave to the poor. He was an alms giver. Here he is giving to the poor, and he's fasting unto God, crying out to God to move in his home. Do you think God rejected it? Oh no, God saw it. God sent an angel from heaven and said, I saw your fasting, I've seen your alms given, and I'm here to change you and change your family. Amen. We see in Acts 10 Cornelius's household coming in. We read in Acts chapter 16 concerning the little town of Philippi and the church that began or was birthed there under the ministry of Paul and his team. How did the church there begin? It began with two households, Lydia's household and the jailer's household. Lydia's was a quad conversion and the jailer's was an earthquake conversion. It was two homes were the beginning of that church. God saved whole families. I believe God saves families. He does. He does save families. I can't work out all the reasonings and movings of the Holy Spirit. But I assure you, when God begins to work in a family, and I want it in this church, we are going to believe for our families. I'm praying, and I have for 2 years. God save families. I couldn't help but pray that because we're in the Crippen's house at the beginning. I go, if God will save one family, he'll save two families. If he'll save two families, he'll save three families. God isn't a respecter of persons. I've got faith to believe he'll bring families in this city. God wants to save your family. God wants to change your family. Restore relationships. Cleanse out all the sin. All that the devil has done, he wants to change it. That is God's will. I know it. I believe it. I'm praying for it. I can't make it happen. I can't change one member of your family. I cannot convince them. I don't have the words. I can't get in their brain or in their heart. But I can pray and believe. Noah had such a faith. He could believe God. Many years ago, when I was 15, I was baptized in water. I got saved when I was young, but baptized in water at 15. I was at an age where I said, I want to go through the waters of baptism. We were in England at the time. It was at a gypsy camp. And we went and had fellowship with that gypsy camp in their caravan. And it was the father of the family was called Harry Lee. He was as authentic a gypsy as ever you're going to meet. An illiterate man, couldn't read, couldn't write. It was a beautiful caravan we're sitting in. And he began to share his testimony. That whole family, I don't know how many kids, 10 children or whatever, in there. All of them come through and got saved. God saved all of them. But it wasn't always like that. Do you know where they began? He said he used to come in at night from drinking and he would beat up his wife, a beautiful lady, used to beat her up, and his oldest teenage sons used to cheer him on, saying, go on dad, hit her again. Go on dad, hit her again. Go on dad, do it again. That's what they grew up in. That was life. That is all they knew. That was life as normal in that home. But you know what happened? Harry Lee got born again. Amen. Christ changed him. I tell you, it radically changed that whole home. He isn't coming home to beat his wife anymore. He's not encouraging his teen sons to cheer him on anymore. All of them got converted. Those big boys, they repented of their sin. They said, what happened to Papa? What happened to Daddy? Do you know what happened? He started to pray and say, Lord, teach me how to read. I can't read, I can't write, I'm utterly illiterate, but I need to know this book. God taught him how to read, the only book he ever read. And as we're in that caravan, I'm looking at these men, their testimonies. They lived on crime. That home is radically different. Christ stepped in. Amen. It was with their family. Most of them that got baptized with me were gypsies. It was at the gypsy camp. We walked across two fields, went down into the water. I'm surrounded by this wonderful family, born again, washed in the blood. I wouldn't want to get baptized in water with anyone else than them. Wonderful testimony. And we're in there rejoicing. And I tell you, there was something in that water I've never stopped since. 16, started my travels when there was definitely something in that gypsy baptismal water affected me all these days. But what I'm saying is, faith for the family. Noah actually had faith for his family. It wasn't only for him. He didn't say, well, Lord, you decide who you're going to save, or you sovereignly decide. There was a burden and a passion to say, I've got faith for my family. I can't know the mind of God. I am not God, but I am going to believe for every member of my family, every generation of my family, and I'm going to look that God does miracles in the worst of them. Until the day they die, I'm going to pray for them, and they are my responsibility. Look at Noah. He had faith for his wife. One sure thing Noah knew was, I am responsible and I've got to believe for my wife. She's not going to backslide. She's not going off into the world. She's not going to get caught up with the affairs of this life. I have a faith. I'm going to pray before God. I am going to trust God. Do you know some people that go down the altar to marry someone and say, I'll alter them. You're in trouble.
Yeah.
You think you can alter that other person? You better be on your knees. You better have a faith in God. Yeah. It is not primarily our responsibility to change people. We are believing that God changes lives, and He does change lives. I can't change another person, but I sure can have faith in God. Do you know what faith in God stops? Manipulation.
Yes.
Isn't that one of the worst things in relationships? People begin to manipulate or begin to say things or begin to connive, and I'll get them to work in a certain way, or I can tell them, or I can pressure them. I tell you, when you have faith in God, that goes. It's no longer man focused. It's actually God focused. You have a burden for someone. You have a love for someone. And you reach out to God and say, oh God, I'm praying that you move in this life. It's not your efforts. Because as soon as it depends on you, I can assure you what you're going to do. We'll all do it. We've all tried it. Out of the energy of the flesh to save a family member. Are they here this morning? But there is a faith that will prevail. I don't care how hard they are. I don't care how many times they've heard a gospel. I don't care how much they know. I don't care how messed up their mind is. Faith can touch that individual and see them transformed. Do you remember Lot and his family? Did Lot have faith? Yes. Lot was a man who took his family into Sodom. He had a choice. His faith was not great enough to save his family. What am I talking about by saving the family? Noah's faith built an ark to the salvation of his home. He focused his entire family on this task of building an ark. Do you know Lot's family? Do you know how Lot's faith operated? His faith wasn't great enough to stop that tent being set towards Sodom. That was a reflection on his faith. He was saved. He was born again, but his faith wasn't enough in God to provide for him. He started looking at Sodom, and he set that whole family towards it. Do you know what? He lost his wife.
Yeah.
He lost his children.
Yeah.
He lost his testimony.
Yeah.
Oh, he was saved by faith, all right. But do you know what the issue was? He didn't have this faith for his family. You see, it's not strength of will. It's not abundance of things that will save your family. It is a faith in God. Thank God Abraham did have a faith for his family, didn't he? He believed God, and Sarai was able to go through with God. This man, Noah, had a great faith for his family. He said, between now and eternity, between now and judgment, I am going to be moved by this faith. I've got a faith to see judgments coming. I've got faith to see God as a merciful God. I've got faith to believe God wants to save my entire family. I will believe God. I do believe that God wants to bring my entire family in. And you know what? It affected everything he done. It affected every year. It affected his preaching, his fellowship with his wife. It affected his relationships with his children. I tell you, that man was moved on by faith. Show me faith in God, it will affect you. And it will affect your relationships. All through the Bible, we see a kind of faith that affects a family. You know why? Because it'll affect your decisions. It'll affect your goals. It'll affect your plans. It'll affect the whole direction of your life. You could get to heaven and not have a faith to bring someone with you. But there is a faith that'll take somebody with you. My faith can't save them, but my faith can bring about the means and be used of God to see their salvation. I want you to notice there's only 8 people on that ark. There was Mrs. Noah was on that ark. She got in. There was his 3 sons and his 3 daughter-in-laws. They all got in on the ark. And we read in the scripture, it was by faith that Noah was moved in order to build an ark to the saving of his house. Faith done that. Fear of what was coming done that. One sure thing is, if you've got kids here, you want to take them to heaven. I wouldn't want to leave any child of mine behind in this world. There is an eternity. I tell you, you can't bemoan what happened the generation before you. I can't give you an answer about your grandpappy or your parents or anything else, but I can tell you where your children can go. You can lead them to heaven. Your faith can send them to heaven, or you'll send them to hell. If you live for this world, if you live like the devil, you'll send your own children down the same pathway. Show me a home filled with the Holy Spirit. I'll show you children coming in here. Like Victoria's wee girl Andy. You remember in the prayer meeting, I thought, man, she's a noisy one. You know, I mean, I can hardly concentrate. But I wouldn't tell any kid to be quiet in a prayer meeting. Pray on, young girl. Why is she like that? That mother has affected her. The faith of that mother has affected that child. She comes into a prayer meeting, says, I want to pray. I'll kneel down, might get distracted. I'll come back and pray. You can have a faith in your home that will affect the next generation. How we are, we'll either send them to hell or send them to heaven. Amen. And I tell you, we can do everything we know to do. Someone can still go to hell, but it'll be over my dead body. Yeah. I tell you, I can stand between them and death and saying, you don't need to walk this way. Yeah. The other night I'm pleading with my brother, you don't need to die like this. God can do a miracle. Restore your mind, restore your life. Yeah. You may not get everything back, your riches back, but you can get salvation. Yeah. I've got a message for you, my brother. My brother is an impossible case. Medication won't help him. No psychiatrist can help him. But I do still know a God. I had a friend who used to think he was the King of Scotland. Used to walk up and down the street. His mind was blown. God restored it and he got born again. Can I believe for my brother? Yes. If you think it's down to your efforts, you'll fail. You'll say, they're beyond it. I don't know how to reach them. It's by faith, saints of God. Believe God to bring them in, and that your home is going to be a home that carries people to heaven. Maybe your neighbors, maybe friends, maybe associates, maybe someone at work. Your home can be a place of faith where people are going to be affected for the glory of God. Noah had such a faith. Someone has mocked Noah saying, well, he only got 8 in there. That's all you need. I got my entire family in. Yeah. Praise God, if I could take my entire family, I'm a happy man. Yeah. My heaven will be 2 heavens. If you've got children and your children get there, you'll be a happy man. Yeah. You'll be a happy woman. You'll be rejoicing in God. Secondly, faith in action. You see, dead faith has no works following it. What is a dead faith? What does it look like? Oh, it can say a lot. It can think a lot. It can say, I believe God. Oh, I believe it's all true. I believe judgment's coming. I believe that God is providing an ark. I believe that God wants us to do something. But you see, dead faith has no works. You won't be moved by a dead faith. Dead faith will never give you the energy, the motivation to move you. That's how you know it's a dead faith. A living faith will overcome your weaknesses, your inabilities, your insufficiencies. It'll overcome your natural personality. And faith in God is real. Some years ago we were going out to the open air. I was taking out about 20 people in this city. All of a sudden that Saturday morning, I go, what have I done? I am terrified. I'm scared to go out. But all these 20, I've got them all ready to go out. They're all in their prayer meeting. I said, meet here at 9 o'clock and we're going out. And I find fear in my heart. And I go, oh no, what have I done? Do you know what I've done in that prayer meeting? We're all meeting. I got down in the corner of that room. And I was honest with God. I don't need to be anything else. I got down in the corner of that room. And I cried, oh God, I'm scared to go out. What have I done? Will you help me? 20 minutes later, I get up a different person. The Spirit of God fell on me. Amen. I'm telling you, a fire began to burn. 20 minutes, and that fire is kindled. You see, faith overrode my natural inclinations. Faith overrode my fears. Faith overrode my inabilities. A dead faith has no works. It won't move you. You'll have an intellectual faith. Oh, I believe in my mind. How does it affect your life? Oh, I believe there is a God. Or I believe there's a heaven and a hell. Well, how is it affecting your life? If it doesn't change your life or affect you or move you, it is dead. Faith without works is dead. That's how simple it is. But real faith has life in it and it has works and it will move you to do something. How did this faith in Noah affect him? Was it a dead faith? No. It certainly wasn't. It was active. It says that this faith moved Noah to prepare an ark. The word prepare actually means to construct, create, or build. That's what his faith done. You see, his faith moved on him in a building project that would take 120 years, year in, year out, month in, month out, that would be the means to the saving of his family. His faith was real. He didn't save his family in 1 year, or 2 years, or 3 years. But his faith was moving him to be a part of something that would actually be there. That construction of the boat would be there to the saving of his whole family. Every year, his faith is moving him on a building task. I want to assure you, we are a part of this building task in the city of Limerick. I believe there's a faith in our midst that's raising up a church that'll be a means of salvation to our families, our loved ones, and people on the street. I believe we're raising up a church that'll be here and a message in this church to say the drug addict can be free. The prostitute can be changed. God can put faith in an atheist's heart. God can clean up the most wicked person in that street. How do I know? Because they're already in here. Amen. They're already in here. Amen. Faith in action. Faith actually moved Noah to be part of a building project. Every tree that got cut down, you're seeing faith. Oh, but it's only a plank. It's only a tree. Sure, you're lopping up branches. This is faith. Yes. I'm actually caught up in something. Might seem small to you today. Well, I'm going to work. I'm praying in the morning, reading my Bible. I'll see you at the prayer meeting. I'll see you at the Bible study. We are preparing something, saints. We're exhorting each other around the table. It's not a building. It's not a system. We are the body of Christ. Amen. There's only one family that will get saved, and that is the family of Jesus Christ. There's only one family getting in that boat. Yes. Only one. And it must be born again as a member of that body. Every tree, every branch, every plank that was being planed, every tree had to be cut down, measured, planed, put into place. All of this had to be done. What are you seeing? Faith in action. Do you realize we're seeing faith in action? Stepping out, starting in that home. You can see the old pictures of it. There's the dishwasher, the washing machine, the sink. Well, what are we doing? Well, we're just following God. This is all I know to do today. I don't know what we'll be doing in 2 years' time. But we have to meet, fellowship, pray, meet together. Oh Lord, what are we doing? Yeah. This is all I know to do today. But I tell you, that faith leads you somewhere. Yeah. And it'll be the means to touch in life. There's life sitting in this room that have been affected by the faith that was there in that living room 2 years ago. Faith has led somewhere. Faith is carrying us somewhere. Faith is touching lives in this room. We are seeing it already. We are going to see it in the next months. We are going to see it in the next year. That our faith is going to reach out to God. I can't change lives. And yet I can believe that God will save the worst sinner.
Right.
You see, that faith moves me to action. I will be in the prayer meeting. I will preach the word of God every week. I am going to talk and edify my brother. Why? It's all faith. Do you know what we're doing? Is raising up something that will lead to the salvation of someone in your family. I don't know who. I don't know when. I don't know how. But my faith is working on cutting down the trees, putting it in place,
amen,
making sure everything is according to the design of God. Do you know what it says about his faith? That by that faith, in verse 7, by the which he condemned the world. Noah condemned the world by his faith and his actions. 120 years building an ark.
Yeah.
Hey Noah, what are you doing building an ark? It's never rained. Never once in my lifetime has it rained. There is no rain. You're not near any sea or river. What are you doing? I'm building an ark to the saving of my home. I think you're wasting your time. I don't think any judgment's coming. I think it's all fear, propagation in your mind. What are you going to do? Lock your family in that bark of a thing? I mean, look at it. Who would want to be in there? You're wasting your time. Am I? Am I? I'm working on something that'll be to the saving of my entire family. It says that his faith condemned the world. Do you know why? He was no different than others. Neither was his children, neither were his daughter-in-laws. But his faith condemned the world. That's what it says here. The faith of Noah condemned that whole generation. But God wouldn't condemn someone, would he? This generation's already condemned. It says in John 3, following verse 16. Verse 16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that no one should perish. But we don't know the verses following. It speaks about this condemnation. What is this condemnation? It's that Jesus came in and men don't want him. It's that God has provided his son, died on the cross, shed his blood, sent preachers into the world, and they don't believe. It is that here on this street of Limerick, there are changed lives in this room. There's men and women that have been born again who love Jesus. They've come out of Catholicism. They come out of the bondage of tradition, out of atheism, out of drugs, out of drink. I tell you, we are a testimony that if anyone walks in that door, God can save you. No, I'm too hard. I'm too messed up. No, you're not. We are a witness that God does miracles in life, that he restores life. I am a living witness. I believe this church will have one of every fish, that 153 fish. I want one. I want a homosexual saved in this church. I want a prostitute in this church. I want a Catholic priest in this church. I want a Mormon and a JW. I want a Protestant. I want an atheist. I want them all in this church, that anyone walks in that back door, we can say, What he done for me, he can do for you. You see, this is faith in action. But what is the condemnation? If they don't believe. If they don't believe. Thirdly and lastly, faith in Christ. This faith of Noah was a faith in Christ. The ark isn't just a type of the church. It is a type of the person of Christ. Salvation isn't in a church. You can't join to get salvation. Baptism doesn't save you. Good works doesn't save you. You're only part of this family and entering into the ark because you are saved by faith. If you're saved by faith, you'll get on that boat.
Amen.
But I don't want to get on the boat. I don't want to be restricted. Then you're not saved.
Yeah.
If you have the faith of God, you're going to listen to the warnings. But I might miss my property and my friends and my wealth and my opportunities. If I choose that boat, then you better let them go. But you will have to make a choice. It's either that boat or this world. You cannot have both. You see, the ark that Noah built is a type of Jesus Christ. We know that man doesn't make Christ, but I assure you what we raise up in our lifetime is going to be to the means of salvation. There are churches you walk into, there's no door to get into Christ. Yeah. There's churches you walk into, there's no warning of coming judgment. Yeah. There's churches you walk into, there is no preaching of truth in the pulpit. They haven't built it right. Let me show you as we finish several marks of this ark that are like Jesus Christ. First of all, God was its designer. Noah was the builder. Noah had to obey and do it. But God actually designed the ark. It was the invention of God. It was the creation of God. You cannot change God's mind. If Noah would have begun to change the message, began to change the design, saying, I don't like this plank. We don't need a door there. We can enlarge the door. You are going to have a crisis. You see, God was the designer. And in this church that we are a part of, God must be the designer. There's already a design in place. The Bible has the design. We want to adhere to the design. We do want to raise up a church like God says in this book. But as soon as we change things, leave out repentance, leave out prayer, leave out holiness, throw away the plank of righteous living, throw away a plank of good fruit in the life, you're asking for disaster. Noah has to build according to a stated plan. Secondly, I want you to note that in Genesis 6 and 7, in Genesis chapter 7 verse 1, the Lord says unto Noah, come. The word come, it's the first time ever used in the Bible. Come. Who's using it? God. And he's actually saying, come into the ark. He says, Noah, come thou and all of thy house into the ark. The first time it's ever used is always important. God isn't outside the ark saying, go in. He's in the ark saying, come in. I am in the ark. God was in Christ, redeeming men. This God is in the ark saying, I want you to come in. I'm inviting you to come in. I'm calling you to come into the person of Jesus Christ and your family. What if he said, it's only for me, not for my family? What if he said, I've got faith for myself, but well, they'll have to sort themselves out. That's between them and God. I'll tell them that's between God and them. I tell you, there was a faith that said, I want my family in that ark. I want them to come in. I'll preach to them. I'll pray for them. I'll believe for them. I'm going to make sure they're part of this building project. I want them there. The first time it says, come into the ark because God was in this ark. Thirdly, it was built of gopher wood. It's the only mention in the entire Bible of gopher wood. Do you know what it speaks about? Christ's humanity. This is the only time gopher wood is mentioned. There's many trees, many types of wood in the Bible. This is the only mention of gopher wood. It is wood, it is of this earth, but it's not like any other type of wood on the planet. Christ's humanity was utterly perfect. He was human. He did live in human flesh, but he's utterly unlike any other man. That ark was made of wood. It was prepared in wood in the fashion of man. Fourthly, that boat only had one door. It didn't have two doors. It was a narrow door in there. There is one door into that boat. There is only one name that saves. All religions won't get you to heaven. All the ecumenical confusion won't get you to heaven. I can assure you all the churches in this city aren't preaching the same Jesus. They don't believe in the same door. They'll say you can have your sin. You can have all of your relationships. You can live in fornication. Live in sexual immorality with someone who isn't your husband or wife. And God will understand. No, he won't.
Amen.
You won't make it. You won't get in.
Amen.
If you're living in sexual immorality, you will never be in that boat. You need to turn from sin in order to get on that boat. This is what repentance is. Adultery, lying, thieving, all of this will keep you out of that boat. Idolatry, using statues in worship. Well, just one statue, that'll affect you. You better throw your statues out. Because my Bible says the idolater will not be in that boat. You use statues in worship. You won't make it. You can't use statues. You can't pray through them. You can't use them or keep them tagged on. It will hinder you. Notice in this boat there were many rooms. There's many rooms for everyone. There's a room for everybody, a mansion for everybody. In Christ there's a place for you. I promise you there's a room for you sitting here right now in Christ. It's just for you. You need to come though. Another point with this is, it says the boat was pitched outwardly and inwardly with pitch. This word pitch is very important. It means to cover. It's the Hebrew word kafir. And it's translated 70 times as atonement. In other words, that boat, outwardly it had pitch on it. Inwardly. Do you know what that meant? It would float. It wouldn't sink. It wouldn't take on water. That pitch, outwardly and inwardly, kept all the water out, kept the judgment out, and made it to survive the judgment of God. What does this pitch represent? The blood of Jesus Christ. The exact same word is used 70 times in connection with blood atonement in Leviticus. Amen. What it's saying here is the blood will make atonement for you. It will make you one with Jesus Christ. Notice the size of it. It was big enough for every animal, every person, anybody who wanted to come. Some people complain and say God isn't loving enough. Well, he's loving enough to save you, isn't he? Amen. You say, well, he's not merciful enough. He's merciful enough to show you mercy. Amen. He's not strong enough or mighty enough to save me out of my sin. I tell you, he is. Yeah. He is. Don't you dare question him. He can radically change your life. This boat is sufficient. Its size is perfect. You may think you find a fault in it. It is absolutely perfect and big enough. It only had one window in it, in the roof, pointing to heaven. It was a heavenly light shone into that boat. And in Christ, as we heard Paul share last week, when you're in Christ, where Christ goes, you are. Yeah. When you're in that boat, when you enter into that boat, you've got one light. It's a heavenly light will shine on you. In Christ, a window is open to heaven. There is revelation that will come from heaven. There is a light that isn't of this earth. Notice as well it had three stories. It's a strange thing to have in Christ or in the ark. Three stories. Three different levels. What do they represent? I believe they represent spirit, soul, and body. Three levels as we go to our destination. First of all, you're saved spiritually. That is the bottom level. You're born again inwardly. You're made right for heaven. You are saved instantly when you repent. That's the first level. The second level is your soul. What is your soul? Who you are. Your emotions, your feeling, your mind, your will. All of those things. You are being saved now. That's the second level. In your soul realm, you're being sanctified, made ready in Christ. When you get into Christ and you're saved, the process of sanctification is going on. What is the top rung? Your body. You young ones won't cheer on us. Us over 40 will go, praise God, I'm getting a new body. On this journey, I have a final destination. I was saved. I am being saved. I am going to be saved. There's a day my body's going to get redeemed. It's not redeemed yet. But it is going to get redeemed. I am getting a new body. There's a new body coming. And all of it is in Jesus Christ. There is a new world. There is a future hope. There is an eternity with Christ. But there's only one way. Through the person of Jesus Christ. On board that boat was every provision. It actually says all food was eaten on board. Every kind of food that you could ever need was on that boat. It wasn't just porridge. It wasn't just a few essentials. Everything was on there. Do you realize when you get on that boat, when you enter into Christ, everything is there that will satisfy your heart, to satisfy your longing, and to feed you sufficiently. Last of all, we see with this ark, concerning its final destination, this is the resurrection. It says in Genesis 8 verse 4 that the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. Where is my final destination? Ararat. This boat is going to get me to another destination, a new world. It's not of this world. There is an everlasting kingdom of righteousness. There won't be any tears there, thank God. There's not going to be any physical pain. There's not going to be any failure. There's not going to be any depression or discouragement. There's not going to be any loneliness. There's not going to be any disappointments. There is a final destination for those who come into Jesus Christ. There is a glory waiting that you can't even imagine. I assure you, faith has revealed it to me. Faith has made it real to me. I will forsake this world. I will deny the flesh. I will say, get thee behind me, Satan. Because I know there's a day my faith is going to take me to my final destination. And on streets of glory, I will meet you if you're in this ark. We are going to sit and glorify the Lamb of God for all eternity. But saints, it's faith to get our family into that ark. He is everything. Don't just warn about hell. Just don't warn them about their sin. Tell them about the security of Christ. Yeah. Tell them about the provision of Christ. Tell them that He'll forgive their sins. That He'll be joy to them. That He'll change their life. That He'll secure them. That all hell will not destroy them. Please stand with me. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, our God. Amen. Oh my God. Let's ask together just for this faith. Saints of God, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let us have a faith by the word of God. God does want us to have the faith of Noah, that will raise up a tabernacle, raise up a church where Christ is the only door. He is the only message. He is the fullness of provision. That is why God is this church here. That we can preach this ark. That we can preach its depths, its measurements, its full provision. And say anybody in this family can go in that ark. You can be birthed into this family. Changed by God's grace. Let's ask Him for this faith. Father, I'm asking in the mighty name of Jesus. We want a faith that not only affects us, but infects our entire family. Even the children, oh God. We want a faith that's going to affect every child in this church. That's going to see them change. We want a church raised up out of the fear of God and the faith of God. That this very church will be a means to impact these young lives. We're asking of you for your grace and your mercy. Give me this faith to believe in Jesus' name.